You know, judgment starts from early childhood. And, you know, that's something that Satan put in me as a lie, that I had to look a certain way, I had to talk a certain way, I had to be a certain way. And, you know, if I didn't, then certain people probably wouldn't like me, or, you know, certain people wouldn't agree with what I did. So I had that growing up. You know, one thing to remember is that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. God made us. He don't make no junk. And, you know, but we learned that judgment all the way back from a little kid. And one thing, I put my glasses on. I'm trying to read my notes. He made us in His image. You know, if we're made in His image, there shouldn't be no judgment there. We need to remember that not everyone thinks like us. And that was something that I really had to work on in my walk through this freedom is, you know, I get in my head, okay, this is how things need to be done. And I don't, you know, and I experienced this with my daughter-in-law. They recently moved back, and me and her do things completely different. And I found myself judging her, like, why ain't you doing it this way? And what the Lord showed me is that's not for me to judge. You know, we all have different ways. We all, you know, God's made us in our own unique way. And, you know, we don't need to judge somebody for how they're doing things. But we also judge people by their spirituality. You know, we can judge somebody that's not as spiritual as us, or we can judge the people that we feel like are more spiritual than us. And Satan puts those lies in our head too, thinking we're not as good as that person that knows all the scriptures, because, you know, we can't quote everything like they can. But then when we get to a certain place, we think, well, how come they ain't where they need to be? I mean, seriously, we do that. But we judge ourselves and beat ourselves up because we're not where we think we need to be spiritually. But we are exactly where God's called us to be at this time. And that's something that, you know, He's really showed me. Everybody's at different levels in their spirituality. Everybody's at different levels in different areas of their life. And it's okay. That's where God has us at that time. And Satan also puts that lie in our head that we're not smart enough. You know, and those lies that we're not pretty enough, we're not smart enough. But like I said, God will meet us where we are, and He will lift us up. He has a calling for each one of us, and not everybody's calling's the same, but we compare ourselves to everybody else. You know, how come I'm not where they need to be, or how come, you know, I'm not where they are in their spirituality? One thing the Lord quickened me to share before, when I was sitting over there, this is not even in my notes, so I'm just going with what the Holy Spirit's telling me to share, and I guess somebody needs to hear this. One area of my life, and I don't even know if y'all know this about me, but I was addicted to meth, and I've been clean 12 years as of May, thank God. Praise God. He gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for that. But during that time, I can remember being judged by people because I was an addict. And remembering the harsh words people said over me, remembering people saying that I would never amount to anything, that I would never get clean, that God couldn't use me. Just those negative words over and over in my head. And I remember when I did get clean, I remember one time I went into the diner where my dad would always eat. And I can remember going to that diner. It was in Bearden, Arkansas, so y'all can imagine. But I remember going in there and remember feeling like everybody was staring at me because they thought I was still using. And I can remember going in there and holding my head down. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and she said, well, you're acting like you're still using. You know, you're not looking at people in the eye. And so the next time I walked in there, I went in there and I held my head up and I went over to people and I shook their hand and I looked them in the eye and I talked to them. And you know what? That changed. But I was feeling condemned because people were judging me for what I did. And, you know, and then I found myself, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, and I found myself thinking sometimes, oh, I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of these drug addicts. Why don't they just get it? And, you know, God had to really work on me because I had to remember where I came from. And I think sometimes we lose that in our walk through life. We overcome something and we expect other people to be where we are. Whether it's divorce, grieving, self-esteem, any of those things, we want everybody to be where we're at. And I had to back up and think, you know, because we go through things in life and God uses that to help somebody else. You know, He's got me where I'm at. I'm working as a drug and alcohol counselor because then people can relate to me. You know, I am one of them. And, you know, whatever we go through, if somebody is going through a divorce, you're not going to go to somebody that's been married for 50 years. You're going to go to somebody that has been through a divorce because you're going to relate. And God uses us. He takes our mess and turns it into a message. And so I just have a few scriptures on judgment. And, you know, when I really started looking up the scriptures, I was like, if there's this many scriptures on judgment, we really need to watch that. We really do. The first one is James 13. And it says, for judgment is without mercy to no one who has shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So we all need to have mercy on others. Is that what that's telling me? The second one is Romans 2, 1. You therefore have no excuse, you who shall pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. I don't know about you, but I condemn myself long enough. I don't need to bring that condemnation on me. The next one is Romans 14, 13. Excuse me. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in the way of a brother or a sister. So when we're judging somebody, we're putting stumbling blocks in their way. You know, I share with you how I felt judged, and that can hurt us when we feel judged by other people. The next scripture is Matthew 7:1. Don't judge or you too will be judged. The next one is Proverbs 21:2. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. We're not always right, y'all. You know, I think we're right about everything sometimes, and it's not about us. We ain't always right. And it's okay to say I'm not right. You were right. I have to say that sometimes, don't I? I'll be like Sister Lane and knock you on the head. The second scripture is Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. When we're casting judgment on somebody, we're speaking empty words on them, for them. We don't want to speak any negative words over our brothers and sisters. We want to lift each other up. You know, as Christians, that's what we want to do. You know, this world's cruel. And, you know, especially I think, you know, we as Christians, we really need to watch casting judgment on others because we are here to lift each other up. And, you know, at one time in our life, we could be exactly where that person is, you know, so we don't need to cast that judgment. Matthew 7:3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? As I tell the patients where I work at, you need to worry about what's behind your nose. Anything else past that is nothing for you to worry about. You got to take care of it. It's a full-time job to take care of myself. The other scripture is Romans 14:3. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does for God. For God will, God has accepted them. You know, I just heard this the other day in the line at the cafeteria at the hospital. This lady was behind me, and this lady had a tray, and she said, she's way too skinny to eat all that food. We judge each other by what we eat. We really do. Or she's got way too much on there, or she's not eating enough to keep a bird alive. But we judge people for little things like what we put in our bodies. Luke 6:37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be forgiven. And, you know, I think really everybody does. But if we condemn people, that's saying I won't be forgiven. So, you know, I want to share a story. And this is what really brought the judgment to my attention. My son's girlfriend, they have two children together. And I'm going to be honest, I was judgmental towards her because they wasn't married. And, you know, I had to really, you know, now that I look back, I had no right to even judge her because I'd been in that situation before, too. I have lived with men and lived an ungodly life myself, but yet I was casting judgment on her. And she made a comment, and she told me one day, you know, Jamie, she said, sometimes it's really hard to be around you and Kenny and Kayla, my daughter. And I said, why? She said, because we live our life different than you. And she said, I really feel uncomfortable being around you. And she said, I feel sometimes that you judge us for our lifestyle. And, you know, that just really hit me when she said that. And, you know, I stopped right there and I said, wait a minute. You know, I have no right to judge you because I have done probably way worse than y'all have. But, you know, that's what really got me to on this looking at myself and dealing with judgment in my life, because I don't want to hinder anybody. And I sure don't want to hinder somebody that want to get close to the Lord and push them further away. And I think sometimes as Christians, we do that because sometimes, you know, people look at us like we think we're so righteous and, you know, we're not. We're sinners just like they are. But, you know, I'm not saying don't speak the truth because, you know, the truth is the truth. But, you know, we got to have mercy on those people. We got to meet them where they're at and lift them up. And, you know, I can go back and remember of times when I first came into the church in Camden going through Celebrate Recovery. And, you know, I wasn't living the life I needed to live, but there was godly women that was placed in that church that helped, that led me and was so nice and sweet to me. You know, I think of four right offhand, but, you know, they're the ones that said, you know, Jamie, if you're going to spend the night with your boyfriend, he's probably not respecting you and you're not respecting yourself in a sweet, loving way. And it never dawned on me before because I never, you know, I wasn't raised in a godly home. So, you know, different things like that, those women gently helped me, led me in the right direction. And, you know, I just feel like that's what we need to do as Christians is, you know, have mercy on the sinners and not judge them.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm good. Done pretty good, didn't she?
Yeah.
Amen. I was sitting here thinking, Monday night, Jamie and I were sitting at the house, and we was talking, and I asked her what she was going to speak on. She's talking about judgment and stuff. I was thinking more resentment. That's more what I just kept hearing in the spirit was resentment. Couldn't find resentment, so bitterness is about the same thing. But I want to add a little something to Jamie's judgment there. I was sitting there Monday night while we was kind of just looking over the word and kind of thinking. We was both sitting there just writing notes and stuff. And I told her, I said, we tend to judge people by the way we feel about ourselves. Amen? Because we feel, the way we've been trained, the way we've been raised, is you got to be a certain way. You got to act a certain way, or else you've been put down. You know, she's taught she had to be a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, talk a certain way. I spent a lot of my life being put down. No, you can't do no good that way. You never make no money like that. You can't support a family doing things like that. You know, things like that's what I heard most of my life. So we tend to judge people the way we've been raised and the way we view ourselves. Never felt like I was much of anything. You know, praise God, I know I'm more. But that's the way we tend to judge. Another thing I was sitting here thinking, like Jamie said, who are we to judge? Because, let me get my eyeballs on as I tell everybody. Because in John 12:47, Jesus himself said he did not come to judge the world. If Jesus didn't come to judge the world, who are we? Amen. So that's all I had to add about that and stuff. It's just some things there I was talking about and seeing while you were speaking. So, all right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about bitterness. I mean, we probably all got it. Let's be honest about it. You know, who has not been hurt? I mean, raise hands if you've never been hurt in life. Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's safe to say that somewhere we probably got a little bitterness, possibly. I mean, just a little bit. I don't know about y'all, but yeah, I've been hurt a lot, so I've... But, you know, we're supposed to forgive, right? So we forgive. And so several years ago, after my second divorce, you know, it was real hard. It was a hard pill to swallow. But I kept praying, Lord, help me to forgive. And Brother Jerry's always said, you know, pray and say, Lord, I forgive these people, even though I may not feel it right now. I forgive them. It's a process, right? So we forgive them a little bit at a time and stuff. But that's not to say I don't hold a little bit of bitterness, right? So I can hold a little bitterness in my heart. And this is something the Lord just been showing me the last couple of days. It's kind of hard to teach a class and listen to the Lord at the same time. I learned real, real hard today. But so the Lord was telling me, you know, earlier this evening, that bitterness, all right, he reminded me of sand. Bitterness doesn't have to be anything big. You know, it's just a little bit. If we hide just a little bit of bitterness in our heart, sand is weighty. The Bible says sand is weighty, okay, meaning a little bit adds weight quick, right, and it drags us down. So bitterness can be one of those little things that's like sand. It can be weighty in our heart and drag us down. So... Lord was showing me that. Anyway, let me get back on focus here a little bit more. Get my eyes back on. I was looking up bitterness, and definition for bitterness is anywhere ranging from being merely disagreeable to the taste of being poisonous. All right, I don't know about y'all, that said something to me. Just a little bit of bitterness in my heart can be, I can just be disagreeable. You know, I know I can be grouchy and stuff, but, well, Jamie reminds me of that quite often. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, seriously, I could have some bitterness or something can, you know, somebody can say something, and I got that bitterness in my heart. Even though I'm trying to forgive them, I'm still holding bitterness in my heart a little bit. Somebody says something, they push the right button and stuff, and I can come in, and I can be disagreeable with her, and she's like, what did I do? You know? honest. Let's be honest about it. Or, now the last part of that definition was a taste of being poisonous. All right? So, if I've got a hold of a little bitterness in my heart, that's like it's like having a splinter in my hand, right? If I don't get it out, it starts to fester, right? It starts creating a poison, right? See where I'm going? So if I got the bitterness in my heart and I let that grow in my heart, that poison starts coming out because out of our heart we speak. So if I let that, then it says, I wish I'd marked that verse earlier. There was a verse, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. I found earlier and stuff that bitterness is like the poison of asp laying under our tongues. So, you know, bitterness can really be something that can affect our lives if we don't control our hearts, if we don't let everything. The Bible says not to let any sin hide in our hearts. I'm going to try to look at a verse here. Y'all give me just a second. I'm going to find a verse, I think, here I need to read. Okay, so the Bible says for us not to hide any sin in our hearts, right? So being bitter, yeah, don't sound like a big thing, but bitterness can be angry, discontent, or even heavy. Okay, so I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to be disagreeable, but I can be heavy. Well, what would be another term in my eyes, what I think would be another term for heavy, would that not be a type of depression? So letting bitterness can also bring depression upon our lives as well as anger, you know, and all that thing. Another definition I found for that as well is rebellion. Because I'm hiding that thing in my heart. I'm not letting it out. I should not hide any sin in my heart, right? My heart should love the Lord. And if I give my whole heart to the Lord, and I've got bitterness there, I've not given Him my whole heart. I'm sorry, it's trying to hard to, everything keeps rolling, verses are not going where they need to be, but, okay, so Ephesians 4:31, I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. So 4:31 says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. In other words, get it out. Get it out because it's a poison, right? If I leave it in my heart, it's a poison. You can forgive everybody, just like Jesus said, 70 times 7. You can forgive them a million times every day and stuff. But if you're still holding a little bit of bitterness in there, sooner or later that thing's going to fester. And at some point in time, that poison's going to come out of you. So we have to let it go. You know, I've been divorced twice. You think that left a little bit in me? Yeah, it's left some in me. And the Lord's been dealing with me about it the last couple of days. So, you know. It's things, it's little things like that. I guess that's what I'm saying. We don't think of bitterness. We want to see the big prides. We want to see judgment, pride, envy. We want to see the big things like that, greed. We can see those. But little things like like bitterness, stuff like that, we don't see. And those are the things that will fester in our hearts. And sooner or later, they come out because it's creating a poison. You leave a splinter in your hand long enough, it creates a poison that you got to deal with. Either you're going to lose a hand or something. So, excuse me. So if I let that fester in my heart, like I said, if I'm hiding that in my heart and I say that I've given Jesus my whole heart, which I'm supposed to do, and I'm hiding bitterness in my heart, I have not given him my full heart. And I just believe that's what the Lord wants. He wants our whole heart. The Word says he wants our heart. He wants every ounce of us to worship and praise him, to love him, because that's what he gives to us. Every bit of him he gives to us. So we need to give us to him. So I just felt like somebody needed to hear all that.